Momentum Energy is 100% owned by Hydro Tasmania, who in a single hour make enough renewable energy to fill 400,000 bathtubs with freshly popped popcorn, or spin 200 million disco balls all at once, or power an army of 10 million robot vacuums ready to take over the world! Or just help keep your leftovers cold. Either or. For a power company backed by someone who can do all that, switch to Momentum Energy. 100%.
You're listening to SBS News.
According to a 2021 Reviews, Associate Professor Patsy Frawley at the University of New South Wales researches sexuality rights as well as violence and abuse prevention in the lives of people with disabilities. Her work at the National Centre of Excellence in Intellectual Disability Health involves collaborating with people with intellectual disabilities to ensure they lead the research. Dr. Frawley spoke to Jennifer Shearer on the importance of accessible resources and support when it comes to sexual violence prevention.
Look, I think whilst there's been some advancements, I think particularly by mainstream violence prevention, and I think we've all experienced that through like the Me Too movement, and I think in Australia there's been a real commitment to preventing violence through the National Plan to reduce violence, etc. While they have been thinking about and including people with disabilities and particularly women with disabilities in that work, I think that generally speaking, often the resources, the opportunities and the programs that might be attached to that are really not accessible to a lot of people with disabilities. So the need for us developing resources that are specifically accessible for people with disabilities, I think, is about really saying we're not there yet with the mainstream information and resources. And things like, you know, mainstream programs or brochures that you might pick up or, even campaigns, they might not be in accessible language. They might not be promoted to people with disabilities because the people in their lives don't think it's relevant. And therefore, we're just the messaging's not getting across. And so I think bridging that gap by developing resources, but particularly co-designing those resources with people with disabilities so that they can be seen in them, they relate to them, they're relatable to their lives, is really important.
What are the challenges in the context of sexual violence prevention?
They're large and ongoing, particularly around sexual violence. I think the view that people that's held that people with disabilities, for people with disabilities to be sexual is to be at risk is a real issue. That along with this sort of misconception that they can't know, they can't feel, they can't determine for themselves what it is that they want in a relationship or in relationships, that in fact this sense that they're inherently vulnerable, like vulnerability sticks to disability, I think is a really big issue. And I also believe that sort of this diagnostic approach to disability, but particularly intellectual disability, continues to send a message that people's capacity to do anything is predetermined by their disability. I think this then places people within the view of society, but it was certainly within the view of, for example, disability services as inherently vulnerable victims. Whereas in actual fact, in the lives of people with disabilities, being sexual is just the same as being sexual for anybody else. I think recognising obviously that people with disabilities do fit within a category of higher risk to sexual violence is important, and we need to continue to understand that, but we need to know why. And it is not about having a disability. It's about the way systems and approaches to being in the world as a person with a disability and being supported in the world as a person with a disability set them up really to be seen as vulnerable and to not see their agency, their capacity to make decisions, their capacity to feel and love and also make mistakes for sure. So it's really, I think, this systemic approach to understanding violence that needs to be applied to people with disabilities and to the experiences of people with disabilities, and to move away from this individualised approach that really attaches ideas of vulnerability. People have talked about this in terms of like sexual ableism, for example, and really I think the challenges come from much of what we need to do is attitudinal change, and that takes a long time. And I think what we need to also be able to do is to connect people with disabilities with good mainstream prevention so that their voices, their stories, their experiences are heard within that broader mainstream context. I'd also say that, I mean, we know the Disability Royal Commission has evidenced that, in actual fact, people with disabilities are very at risk in places where they are because of their disabilities. So the care relationships, the services, these closed environments away from public gaze have actually been the environments where we know risk is high. So therefore that is a challenge, because the context of sexual violence in the lives of people with disabilities is very, very connected to the ways in which they have been perceived and then responded to in the sort of service system, if you like. A colleague from the UK talks about the corruption of care, and Paul Cambridge, and I think that's a really important thing for us to understand, is that when we're dealing with prevention of sexual violence of people with disabilities, we're actually dealing with the need to dismantle a system that seems, you know, obviously very large, and that is very challenging. That requires people to ask the question, what are we doing here? What are we thinking here? What are we applying here that continues to put people with disabilities at risk? And so it's a social change agenda. The Disability Royal Commission have provided us with that platform now. Unfortunately, you know, it's been buried a bit. There were 222 recommendations and only 13 were fully accepted. I think the broader challenge, therefore, also is for us to reconnect with that and to really address those systemic changes that are needed.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
And in terms of resources that are being developed to address these issues, why is it so important that everyone accesses this information?
Yeah, look, I think because people with disabilities are part of our community. We all, you know, we should belong in the community. I think what was good about the Royal Commission is that they actually did take that systemic approach. They could have taken different approaches, but what they said is we need to look at schools, we need to look at faith communities, we need to look at recreational and sports facilities, we need to look at disability services. What has been happening, what continues to happen in these places are places that, you know, they're publicly funded. If we think about schools and, you know, recreation, sport, religious organisations, everybody's there, including people with disabilities. But that means everyone in those places have got a responsibility to say, what do we need to change? Because we know abuse is happening to people in all of those places, within all those contexts. So every single person in the society needs to think about how is this happening within our places to people with disabilities. What do we need to do to change it? We need to actually firstly accept people belong there, and they belong as their own people, not as sort of an object of care or welfare. They're full human beings. Their personhood is what we need to consider and understand and respond to.
You've touched on this, but perhaps we can elaborate further. How can community members help to create safer and more respectful environments for people with disability? What can they do?
Everyone everywhere, I guess, is the message. I think they've got to look at what those drivers of violence are and abuse. Broadly speaking, we can learn that very easily. There's many, many opportunities to understand that now. Again, I point to places like Our Watch, for example, who are very good at sharing that public messaging around what is violence, what is abuse, and really challenging misconceptions about that. But I think safer environments, really, for people everywhere, but for people with disabilities, are where they're seen as people first, places where there's no place for ableism. And I think it's really about asking questions. It might mean asking questions in your workplace. Why are there no people with disabilities here? If they are, why aren't they doing the highly paid jobs? Why aren't they around the decision-making table? It might be asking, again, getting back to saying, again, faith and religious communities, but we do know that these communities have been highlighted within a range of inquiries around abuse. But and in schools, why are people with disabilities set aside in special arrangements, special groups? Disability Royal Commission about sexuality and relationships with your sons and daughters with disabilities, and what help do you need to do that? And I think also, if you're a nurse, you're a doctor, health professional, asking how do I position people who are coming to see me? If I don't see them as sexual beings, I won't be looking for information for them about their sexual rights, about sexual health. I won't be thinking about, you know, the known risk of abuse. And I'm not trying to conflate, you know, being sexual and abuse, but we do know that sexual violence is, you know, really highly prevalent for people with disabilities, particularly people with intellectual disabilities. And I do think health professionals, in particular, have a really important role here to think carefully about the people in front of them and then think fully about the information and supports and services that they might need, perhaps to be seen as a person who might be needing to have that question asked, are you okay? Is everything all right? You know, what did cause this to you, to your body, to your mind, and how might we address that and respond to it? I also think particularly sort of law enforcement and criminal justice and the justice system have a really important part to play about thinking about how they can particularly look at reform, so that people with disabilities who are experiencing sexual violence can have justice. And I'd also argue that we really also need to understand that people with disabilities, as I said, are people first, but they have intersecting identities as well. You know, they're girls and boys, they're women and men. They have sexual, you know, diversities, gender diversity, you know, cultural diversity, people, Indigenous communities. Thinking about all those intersections when we're thinking about people with disabilities and saying, where do we need to go then to start thinking about prevention? It can't be just focused around, you know, an idea of it's for just for people with disabilities in this space, in this place. It needs to be across the whole kind of spectrum of lived experiences of people with disabilities. And it's not niche and it's not extraordinary. It's actually, unfortunately, really prevalent. So it's not something to be, I guess, the shock is okay to be shocked into understanding it, which I believe the Disability Royal Commission did a really good job for this country to bring it into the profile. It's now up to the rest of us to maintain a focus on that for advocacy and for the social change that we do need. And in my experience, it's about really thinking really hard about what safer and respectful means for people with disabilities and flipping things around so that people with disabilities can be the voices and we listen to them.
The most terrifying thing in the world to me is I go to the beach and I end up on Bondi Rescue.
I always worry as soon as I can't feel the ground beneath my toes when I'm swimming.
I'm Suren Jayamana and I have never learnt to swim.
I'm Sashi Pereira. I'm going to help you to learn how to be more comfortable in and around the water.
Head Above Water is a mini-series of the SBS Australia Explained podcast. Just follow the show in your favourite podcast app.